Good morning.
Good morning.
How many of you had opportunity to be at any of the meetings during conference? Praise God. I encourage you, if you were not able to attend, as soon as they're available online, download those messages. Listen to them and hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. And it was really something to me whenever I gave the call at the end for people that wanted to step into private worship. How many people came forward? I mean, it was lined up all the way around this building with people that wanted to step into private worship. And for one reason or another, they had either never had that opportunity before, or they had worshiped the Lord in the past, but then for some reason they had been squeezed out of it, and they came forward for the grace. But it just impressed me so much, the hunger that the people have for this, and how this is, from everything that's going on inside of me, this is what I see God saying right now. And I believe it has everything to do with revival. I honestly do not believe that we're going to step into revival and miss this. I don't believe that can happen. I believe that this is as important as the message on tongues, as a message on fasting, as a message on meditating the Word. I believe that this is as equally as important. Because this is how you're going to, anywhere you are, at any time, be able to access the very presence of God. I want you to think about that for just a second. Anywhere you are on the face of the earth, at any given time, you can find your closet and you can enter in to His presence, and you can have that presence available to you anywhere at any time. I'm finding, just as I go about my work day, that I can have His presence with me then. I'll give you this example. You know, sometimes I feel like I've got a sign on my back whenever I'm working. I was putting up soda pop downtown, just minding my own business. Now, granted, for those of you that, you know, haven't heard any of these messages, what I'm talking about is private worship. What I've been entering into is time alone with Him, where it's just me and Him. It's me sitting there telling Him how much I love Him, worshiping Him for extended period of time. And that's how I've been entering into His presence. So here I am, putting the soda pop on the shelf. Behind me comes this guy, and he's looking for another product. And, you know, I've got my earphone in. I'm listening to Pastor Dave, probably. And he starts talking. This guy starts talking to me. And he's asking me where the Gatorade is, and he's standing right in front of it. I'm like, it's right there. Okay. And then he proceeds. Now, I'm not like this. This person proceeds to start telling me about his wife, how the doctor sent him to the hospital, or to the grocery store, to get Gatorade for his sick wife. And he doesn't stop there. He proceeds to go into graphic detail about her situation, her condition. I'm not like that. And this really hadn't happened to me before until this man walked up to me. And he goes through and starts telling me about how this happened to her and this happened to her, and then the doctor made this cut her liver open or something. And I'm thinking, oh, how horrible. And, you know, I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but when this happens, I immediately start thinking, okay, Holy Ghost, what do you want to do here? Because people just don't walk up to me and just start spilling their, you know, everything about their lives. At least I didn't before. So I reached out my hand, I grabbed his hand, and I said, can we pray? And you know, immediately, it was like there was no hesitation. He wanted to pray. So we're right here in the middle of Reese's in the aisle. I stopped long enough to pray for this man, for his wife. Jesus wants us to take him outside of these four walls. And we get together here and it's wonderful. And I love coming here. But this isn't supposed to be everything. This is where we come and we get encouraged. This is where we come and we get fed. But we have to take him with us wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And it's this presence that I am cultivating myself through spending this time with him that I'm starting to recognize a change on the inside of me. Where people are walking up to me, asking, telling me all this stuff, letting me pray for them. Isn't that better than knocking on doors, handing out tracts? I mean, I would rather have 100% success rate as opposed to, you know, 15 or 20 knocking on doors. I would like people to walk up to me because they sense something's different inside of me and they don't know what it is. Wouldn't you like that? I noticed something else happening to me. Now, some of these are gradual changes. Gradual changes. I was listening to a news report. It was reporting about a person that had, a little girl had some kind of a disease, Huntington's disease. And the neighbors, for whatever reason, had basically singled this person out and ridiculed this little child because of this disease. And it backfired on them, and the people in the community rallied around the little girl and alienated the people that were doing the bad things. And inside of me, I thought, good. That's what ought to happen. Now listen to this. This is not Mark at all. When that came up inside of me, immediately the Holy Ghost said, but I love those people too. The ones that were doing the mean things. I love them too. You see, before, I don't think I could have ever heard that because my heart wasn't in a place where I was open to hear that. That's the gradual changing process happening inside of me. Gradually, I'm starting to become more like him. Gradually, he's trusting me now a little bit more to share more things with me. And he's sharing me things about this congregation. And part of what he shared, we're going to talk about before this is over with this morning. And it has to do with what is your inability to worship him? What's holding you back from doing this? I don't know if I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and follow this. You know, all of us have bad things happen in our life. All of us do. You can't live in this world without something bad happening to you. It's just inevitable. But you can't use that. You can't allow that to put you in a little box and to keep you from reaching out to him because of the pain and because of the hurt. And I believe that that, not only for people in this room right now, but people are going to be listening to this on the internet. There's a healing that's part of this private worship. As I sit for these extended periods of time and I worship Him, you have to understand that I'm offering up out of my spirit this worship, but my mind that sits and fights me for this, and my emotions that try to tell me to go do something else, that's the part of me that's getting offered up on the altar. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Father, I worship You. And with every ounce of strength that's within me, I put into every word the love that I have for Him. It takes effort. You know how many times my mind runs down the street and starts thinking about something else? You know how many times I'll sit there and before I know it, I'm listening to myself and I'm thinking, who is that talking? And it's me. Because I've let my mind go and it started thinking about something else. So I have to bring it back. Say, no, mind. You're not going to disrespect my King. I'm going to offer You up here on this altar. You're going to sit here as I worship Him. But it requires something of you. It requires you to open yourself up to Him in a way that most people will never do. It requires you to become vulnerable to Him. And most people will never do that. For most people, the extent of their worship is whatever they experience the 15 and 20 minutes in a church service every week. They'll come in, take their place at their regular pew or whatever. They'll sit there and maybe they'll jump up and down. Maybe they'll worship the Lord a little bit along with the music, because the music gives you that beat. And the music, the words, that involves your emotions. If I had somebody up here singing the national anthem, do you know the kind of emotions that you would have? Patriotic. Because that music, those words, that song, that emotes those emotions of patriotism. If we sing worship songs, it involves your emotions. So some people, they just come into a service. They might raise their hands, they might not, they might sit there. They're singing the song. But you know what you can do? You can sing the song and all the time be sitting there hating the person that's sitting right next to you. You can do it. You can sit there and be thinking about all the things you're going to do next week. And all the time the words are coming out of your mouth. Are you really worshiping God when you're doing that? Am I? No, we're not. True worship, when you worship the King of Kings, is not sitting there singing a song, thinking about the next lawsuit that you're going to file. It's not sitting there singing and having your hands up in the air and thinking of how you're going to get your neighbor back for what they did to you. It's none of that. It's when you spend the time yourself alone and you focus all of your attention on Him. And it takes work. It is not easy. But the more you do it, and this I can attest to this, the more you do it, the easier it gets. It does get easier. I can sit down now and enter into His presence just like that. find my place with him almost instantly. But at the very beginning when I started doing this, I want to tell you what. It was hard. It was all I could do to sit there and continue to worship God. And why is it like that? Because my soul wants to do everything else but that. And herein is the problem. My mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, they want to be king. They're not interested in you giving worship to God. They want to be the one in charge. So there's an offering that has to be made, and that offering is offering up that part of you, that soul, on the altar. And it's something that you have to do every day. And going back to what I was saying earlier, for some of you, that opening up to Him, and we're going to get right down where the rubber meets the road right now, you opening up to Him is almost impossible because of the hurts that you've experienced in the past. Everybody's been hurt, folks. Everybody. I'm not going to go into this a lot, but I'm going to just share with you. I came into this world by a mother whose face I don't ever remember seeing. She died when I was about 2 years old. Do you think that that can foster some pain and questions growing up? Do you know that I've never sat and had an in-depth conversation with my dad about my mother? Never. Not in-depth. You know, I don't know when she was born. I don't know what her favorite color is. I hardly know what she ever looked like because I only saw a couple of pictures. Folks, everybody has suffered pain. It is not a reason to shut yourself off. As long as you do that, as long as you shelter yourself, you stop Him from ministering to you. And there's a healing here for those people that have been hurt like that. Because He wants you to be healed. He wants you to open yourself up. He wants to be able to have this reciprocating relationship with you where you're giving out and He's giving back to you. That's what this is all about. That's why we're here on this earth. Think about it. Why else would a God who has no need of anything create you? Why? He has no need of anything. Within Himself is everything. Except fellowship with you. That's why He created us. That's everything in a nutshell. That's why we're here. And it's your personal decision, your will, whether or not you're going to enter into this relationship, this fellowship with Him. It's up to you. Everything's up to you. When you became a Christian, it was your decision. Now here is this ability to fellowship with your Creator, and it's your decision to do it anytime you want to, or to never to do it. If you, Mark, you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you could walk out this church right now, never do anything, and go to heaven. But you know what? That's not why we're here. We're here because we're going to receive revival. That's why we're here. We're not just run-of-the-mill people who are satisfied with status quo. That's not us. We're not satisfied with going to the first church that's got a beautiful steeple and stained glass and beautiful carpet and beautiful pews and beautiful people, and going there week after week and stand there and raise our hands and hate our neighbor, and all of a sudden, you know, everything's rosy in our life. No. We're here in this body because we know that this message is right, and we know that revival is for us. And to get to that place is going to cost us something. So if you're here or you're listening by the internet and you're happy with status quo, you're welcome to stay. You're welcome to listen. But your status quo is not going to stop us from pressing in. Do you understand that? Your willingness to accept status quo is not going to stop us, because we are on a march towards revival. And we're not going to stop. I mean, you know, there's people that they'll never be happy with anything. They're just always going to be that way. But you know what? I'm going to keep going this way. I know what this message is. I'm doing this message. And I'm going to have what this message produces. And this message will produce revival. Can I hear a better amen?
Amen.
And part of it is worship. So if you have problems with, as I'm talking about, this aspect of opening yourself up to Him, He wants to heal you. Let's start in Hebrews chapter 10. Here's the direction that I want to go with this. Not that I want to go. Here's the direction that He's going with this. We're going to look at the shadow being under the old covenant. We're going to look at the shadow. We're going to look at what happened at the temple. We're going to look at what transpired on a daily basis at the temple. We're going to look at that, understanding that that is the shadow. And how does that equate to us today? Okay, let's start in verse 1 of Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. What does that mean? If the people had been made perfect by those sacrifices that they offered for the sin that they had committed, if those sacrifices would have been sufficient, then they could have stopped. But it wasn't. And so they continually had to present those offerings, those sacrifices. So here you were, Joe Blow Jew. You had committed a sin. What did that do to you when you committed the sin? It cut you off from the covenant. And you had to be restored. So there had to be blood that was shed. So you would go out and you would find either your lamb or whatever, the calf or whatever it was that was told to you in the Levitical law. This is the sacrifice that you have to offer to reestablish your relationship. So you wouldn't find spot. You'd go find the best. And you'd bring the best one in. You'd put it on the brazen altar. You were the one that would slit the throat of that animal. And the priest was there, most likely helping you hold the animal down, because animals don't necessarily like to be killed. So you're holding this animal down, offering the life of this animal in place of you for the sin that you committed. When did this happen? Daily. These people were They were unregenerated people. So daily there were sacrifices for sin that were offered. And you all know that once a year the high priest would offer the sacrifice that he would go into the Holy of Holies. But for the people that on a daily basis would commit sin, they would present their sacrifice and there would be a daily offering. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, and this is the verse that I brought out at the conference, the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. This action of restoring the fellowship between the person and the covenant was referred to as worship. But in those sacrifices, verse 3, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when Jesus cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Now look at this in verse 6. Thou hast had no pleasure. Can you just envision in that one short verse, in those few words, all of the sacrifices that were made were basically nullified. None of those could satisfy. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first being the law, the second the new covenant, and our sonship. By the which will we are sanctified, verse 10, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now look at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Had I lived in that time period and I'd been a Jew and part of the covenant, I would have had to have had a whole herd of sheep. They would have known my name at the tabernacle. Here comes Mark again. Because I was a bad boy early on. I had issues. So I would have to have been there frequently. But never would any of those sacrifices ever satisfied the price. Only when Jesus offered his blood was it finally satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. But here's my point. My point is, daily, under the shadow, there was daily ministering. We'll use the word they used. There was daily worship by those that brought the sacrifices. Daily. Now let's look at go to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. We want to look at now. We want to see ourselves now. We saw what's under what the shadow was. The shadow was daily ministry. But we need to see ourselves now. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, that's us, brand new, born again, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be You have tasted the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Now the word there, house, if you look that up in the concordance, and like I've said before, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can use the concordance. If you look up that word and you look at the definitions, one of the definitions in there is temple. You're a temple. Living stones. What do you think that this, when they built Solomon's temple, it was made out of? Stone was the building block. And we're living stones. If you look at a stone, is there any life in it? It's pretty much dead. And that's how we were before we accepted Jesus. But the moment we accepted Jesus and we were born again, this stone became alive. His life residing on the inside of me, the death completely removed, his life living inside of me. And I want you to see this imagery of the temple. Under the shadow, what did they do? They would go into the physical building. They would go into the outer court, the inner court, and then once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. So you would go into the outer court, or the outer court, then you would go into the inner court if you wanted to offer your offering on the brazen altar. But you would go to a physical place, a building. And that was where you contacted God. But you didn't do it yourself. Can you imagine? Picture me again, the Jew, walking. Here's my heifer. Walking up. We're going to put it on the altar. We're going to sacrifice it. It's sacrificed. Okay, now I'm going to walk into the Holy of Holies. No, you're not. You're not going there. That's not for you. This is as close as you are going to get. Because you weren't born in the right family. You're not of the priesthood. You're certainly not the high priest. This is as close as you get. You stop here. And the only time we're going to see your face again is whenever you do something wrong, and you're going to come back again and you're going to do the same thing again. But it stops there at the altar. When you're born again, you're born into not just a Jewish family, you're born into his family. And now you have the ability to go past that brazen altar. You have the ability to go into that holy place. Glory be to God. You don't have to stop. Hey folks, under the old covenant, I wouldn't have even been eligible. I'm a Gentile. So I was even excluded there. I had nothing going for me. But now, not only am I born in the family of God, but now I have a responsibility. I want you to see that responsibility. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. You are that temple. You are the temple of the living God. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility. You're of the priesthood. You didn't just get born into the family. You got born into the family as a priest. He's the high priest, but I'm a priest. So let's go back to our analogy. Here's the Jew. I'm not just a regular, under that picture, under that shadow, I'm not just somebody that is just a regular Joe. I'm stepping over to the other side. Now I'm in the priesthood as a part of the shadow. But here I am under the thing that made the shadow. As Dave always said, Pastor Dave always said, where there's a shadow, there's something making that shadow. If I was under the old, I would just be the priest that's offering up those sacrifices. I'm now in the thing that made the shadow. I have a responsibility now. What's my responsibility as a priest? I offer up a spiritual sacrifice. A spiritual sacrifice. What in the world could that be? I offer up worship to Him. How often do I do it? All the time. What am I going to fight? What is the thing that I'm going to have to put on that altar now? I'm not having to put something there for sin, but I have to put something on that altar. What do you think goes there? It's that soul. Your soul is what you're going to put on that brazen altar and offer it up every moment that you sit there and you worship Him. You see, your spirit man wants to worship God. Loves to worship God. So whenever I'm in that place with Him and I got my hands up and I'm saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Everything in my mind that fights that. That's the part that didn't get born again. That's the part that I'm going to put on that altar every moment that I spend in that time of worship. And the more that you do it, the more you offer that soul up, the easier it gets to worship Him. So when you first start, and this is where a lot of people are right now, as they've listened to these messages, this is where a lot of you are right now. You're fighting it. You're fighting sitting there. It's hard. I could do anything else but this. I could even pray in tongues. But you know what? When you're praying in tongues, you don't have to think about anything. You know, that's the beauty of praying in tongues. I can pray in tongues and put soda pop on the shelf. I can pray in tongues and walk my dog. I can pray in tongues and do anything. I don't have to think about it. This will require you to think about it. You're going to have to think, focus your attention on Him. And it's going to go in all different kinds of directions. But you got to go get it. Get your attention. Get your mind. Bring it back. No, soul, come here. We're going to worship our King. See, we're past the place where I'm sitting here. It's Sunday morning. I'm worshiping Jesus. I'm thinking about all the other kind of stuff. We're not there anymore. That's not this. But I will tell you something. The more you do this, the better that is going to be. And I want you to think about this. I'm doing this. I know that there's others here. I have faith that you're doing this. I want you to think about this. When we get, and I'm just going to step out here and say this by faith, when you get all of you doing this, and all of you are breaking down that wall of the soul, you're breaking it down, you're breaking it down, you're worshiping Jesus, and we all come together and we worship God, I want you to envision what that's going to be like. Can you see how awesome that's going to be when we all are working in this direction? We're all spending our time daily. How much time? Somebody just asked this question. How much time? Well, you know what? I don't have your schedule. I have my schedule. Okay? Somebody sent in a question after the conference. The gist of the question was this. I see the validity in all of this message. And I would imagine that this person has come into this message recently. I see the validity in all of this. What do I do first? Where do I start? I would say for that person, spend your time in tongues. Quiet down, quiet yourself down inside. Begin to develop a listening ear. Listen to the tapes on the MP3 or whatever on distinguishing God's voice. Learn how to hear Him. As you learn how to hear Him, let Him tell you how to spend your time. Isn't that easier? That's easier. Just let Him tell you. So as far as those of you here right now, how much time to spend doing this? Ask Him. Ask Him. How much time do you want? I know for myself that He's given me quite a nut to crack here. Okay? And I know that a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm delivering this right now. That He wants me doing this. Much time. Am I perfect at it? No. There are times that life just simply gets in the way. My dog has fleas, and I've got to get these off of him now. Things happen, folks. God understands that. You worship God. You carve out that time. And it's going to take an effort to carve it out. But God will honor that. And you can enjoy worshiping Him. You can get to that place. It may not seem like it right now. Right now it may seem like, Mark, I'm going into this place. I'm sitting down. I've shut the windows. I'm sitting there. I worship you, Jesus. Word hits the floor. Get the spatula, pick it up. I worship you, Jesus. And that's all it is for me. For hours. Or minutes. Or whatever. Keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Your mind may go into 100 different directions. Bring it back. Because I will not disrespect my King. Can you imagine going into the presence of a king and he's sitting there and you're going to address him and you're just, okay, well, I'm thinking about next week, and he's sitting here and you're over here and then you're over there and he's sitting here looking at you and you're, That's the picture of a lot of churches on Sunday morning when they do the worship. They're over here, there. I'm going to focus on my King. I'm going to bring my mind back. And there's other people that have asked me, what about singing? What about... Hey, I'm starting to get some questions now. People want to know, can I sing? Without music, can I sing? You know, I believe that this is going to be the way that you break through the most. Just sitting there, speaking the words. And it doesn't... Anybody can do it. You don't have to have a lick of talent to do it. If you want to sing, spend time... Sing. Do what... You're going to do whatever you want to do anyway. I'm just telling you that from my own experience, just sitting there, speaking these words... This has been how I have seen advancement, progress. I would suggest this method before I would say anything else. Some people say, well, what about if I want to see in tongues? Well, the only thing about that is when you're speaking, speaking in tongues, you don't know what you're saying because you're not the one originating the language. So how do you know that you're even worshiping God? Think about that. You're probably still dealing with issues inside of you. What we want to do is focus our worship on Him. I want to know what I'm saying. I want to be focused on it. And in every word that I say, I want to put every bit of me. And I'm going to show you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. In every word that I speak, I put every bit of me in it. Every bit of me. If it means that I just speak and I just utter one word at a time, if there's a gap between it because I have to get my mind back, so be it. But I'm going to focus all of my attention on Him. As a priest, I'm going to present to Him the very best offering, the very best sacrifice that I can. All of me. All of me. Go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. In this portion of Scripture, Solomon has just built the temple. They've gone and they've collected the Ark of the Covenant from the city of David. In 2 Chronicles, they brought the Ark of the Covenant from the city of David. I linked that up with Luke chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. Where Jesus was born in the city of David. The Ark, Jesus. The Ark is the symbol of Jesus. What are they doing here? They're bringing the presence of God into an empty temple, void of life. And all of a sudden, one day, here comes the presence of God into the Holy of Holies. This is a symbol of our new birth. Inside of this temple right here is a Holy of Holies. It's my spirit man. Reborn. That's what this picture is right here in 2 Chronicles. I want to look at verse 6. Well, let's just read till we get there. Let's start in 3. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priest and the Levites bring up. Now verse 6. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Stop there. These weren't priests. These were the people offering up sacrifices, not in the Holy of Holies. You see, the ark wasn't brought into that place yet. It doesn't identify this, but there was the. If you look back, it talks about the creation of the altar, the brazen altar. One would assume that these sacrifices were done at the brazen altar. But I want you to notice something. It said that they were without number. Without number. So I stand here, a temple of the living God. See the symbolism in Solomon's temple. I have the Holy of Holies, which is the presence of God in my new nature. There's an outer court, my physical body. An inner court, my soulish man. And the Holy of Holies, my spirit man. They brought into the inner court where the brazen altar is. They offered up sacrifices that couldn't be numbered. It's a picture of your soul. You'll never get to the place of offering up your soul where it is, there's not something left to offer up. You'll never reach the place in worship where you're sitting there offering up this sacrifice. I worship you. And you're not going to have some resistance from that soul that it's not going to need to be offered up again. You'll never wake up one morning and say, my gosh, I'm just going to worship God forever. That's not going to happen. There's going to be resistance there. That endless number of sacrifices is an endless amount of your soul that's going to be offered up. But you're going to do it. And you're going to keep doing it. And you're going to keep doing it. And we're all going to do it. We're all going to worship Him. And let's look and see what happens in verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. Not only can you experience His presence in this way, but we can all come together and we can all worship God in unison. And do you know what that's going to be like? It's going to be like revival. It's going to be like... Do you think it's not without resistance, folks? Since I started on this track, it's been nothing but resistance. I'm not going to go through the list because I don't want to scare you. I just want you to know that there's resistance. Because there is an enemy that wants to stop you. You're taking the place that he wants. He wanted it so badly that it cost him his position in heaven as the leader of the worship. Do you think there's some value here? I just know that things are happening as I worship God. And I want you to come along with me on this journey. I want you to. He wants you. More importantly, He wants you to. He wants you to. I'm going to go back now because I'm almost out of time. I'm going to go back now to what I said at the beginning. There's some of you that have listened to every one of these messages. There's some of you that have tried. And it's like hitting a block wall because it hurts. You want to have what I'm talking about. You want it. But you hurt so bad that opening up to Him in this way seems to you impossible. It's not impossible. There's nothing impossible with Him. There's nothing impossible with Him. I don't want someone to feel singled out. But I want all of us to stand up. And we're going to start worshiping the Lord. And I believe, as we do this, that healing, the healing balm, is going to minister to the places where you hurt. The place in you that that's stopping you. Because He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healed. He doesn't want the pain to keep you from Him. As we worship the Lord right now, I want you to offer yourself up. This is going to take your faith. For some of you, the pain is so bad that you really just don't have any idea how this can happen. It can. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Doesn't have to be loud, it can be quiet, but with your own words, let's worship Him. Jesus, I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. Holy Ghost, help us to be worshipers. Holy Ghost, You are the helper. Help us. Help us. We cry out to You. Help us to worship. Jesus, You're our healer. Not just for the physical problems, but You're our healer on the inside where we hurt. We look to You right now, Jesus. Heal us. Heal us in the areas where we've been so hurt that we just don't even know how to open up to You. Heal us, Jesus. I want that to be Your cry. Heal me, Lord. Heal me. Heal me, Jesus. I want to worship You. I want to offer myself to You. Heal me, Jesus. Jesus, I receive that healing. I receive. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. Oh, I worship You. I worship You. I worship You, Lord. I worship You. It doesn't have to be flowery words. It doesn't have to be intellectual. It just has to be You worshiping Him. I worship You. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You. I worship You. I exalt You, Lord. I exalt You, Lord. I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You. Thank You for healing me. Thank You for Your healing. Thank You for healing the hearts of the people. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost, we open ourselves up to you, Holy Ghost. We open ourselves up to you, Holy Ghost. We open ourselves up to you. Oh, Holy Ghost, heal us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, I worship you, Jesus, I worship you, Father, 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 I worship you, I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. 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 I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As you go home and you apply this, as you find your place and you get alone with Him, for those of you that really have been dealing with this pain and this hurt, this is going to continue. When you get alone with Him, this is going to continue. This is like getting a kickstart. This is that step that you've been waiting for. Go home. Apply this. Spend time with Him. Let Him continue this healing process inside of you. It's not just all going to happen right now, but it's beginning right now. And He wants to continue this. If you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. It's up to you. It's always, always up to you. I'm going to release you. Our 10 o'clock service. 25 minutes from now, I don't want you to lay this down and walk away from it. I want you to take this with you. Please take this with you. I hope this blessed you. Amen.